And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Is relocation a real good option to revitalization?
It depends.
It depends. And that's I wanted to answer right. my own question, but I wanted to answer my own. But you've already done that. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to get seven different types of responses. So let me welcome you to episode number 79 of Revitalize and Replant. As always, I'm joined by Jonathan, the voice, Hal. And as always, in the production studio is Amy Jordan. And so we are going to talk about this issue. Many times, most of the time when we talk about revitalization, we don't mention the word relocation. And why don't we mention it? Because Mark Clifton is right. God put you at a community at a certain time, at a certain place with a certain address for a certain reason and mission. And so you want to reach that community. But there could be issues that would say, okay, we really need to be in another location. I think, Jonathan, that this is an exception, not the rule, but we need to talk about the exceptions.
It's not for every church.
It's not for most churches.
But it is for some.
It is for some. And we have seen some churches that should have, that didn't. Have.
And now they are no more.
Yes. And they wished to have.
They wished to have.
They wished to have, but they didn't have. So we're going to be talking about relocation as a revitalizing alternative, revitalization alternative. My guess is that some of you saw this topic and said, oh, I'm going to have permission to revitalize. I don't need to worry about my community.
Yeah, or relocate. Yeah.
Relocate.
Oh, Rainer said we can relocate.
Yeah.
Let's go. Vote this week.
Yes. It's all hands on deck. We're moving to another location. Please listen carefully. Jonathan, I got to tell you, I got a complaint on social media.
Uh-oh.
And it was a week or so ago. And it was obviously someone who had just read the title of a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Why read the whole thing? Why listen to the podcast? I mean, there's no reason. Just comment away.
And was just all over me about something. I don't even remember what it was. And if he had just listened, I addressed every issue that he brought up within there. So, okay, you may be drawn to this podcast because of the title. And you say, we're going to relocate. That's what Rainer says do. Maybe. But maybe not.
Maybe not. All right. Well, we'll find out more. So we have a question.
Carter was the one that precipitated this particular issue.
So Carter says, church I pastor needs revitalization. Well, you came to the right place, Carter, hopefully. We are in an economically depressed area and many of our members drive in. Would it be better for us to explore relocation versus trying to grow where we currently are?
Good question, Carter. Your situation is not unusual.
Not at all.
We see a number of churches where the community is no longer coming to the church. We see a number of situations where the legacy members are barely hanging on. Most of the children and grandchildren have left, and there are just a few that are coming in. Is this a relocation situation? And as Jonathan and I say, quite frequently, it does depend. And that's why we're going to get seven issues that you need to address whether or not you should do relocation.
All right. So number one, it's usually not a good first choice.
I think we made that point pretty well. And
that's why this is point number one.
let's think about that now. Again, with great deference and respect to Mark Clifton, he is passionate that any church in a community should be reaching the community. Mm-hmm. That's where we are.
Yeah.
And that's why we
would agree with that.
Yeah. That's why we say everything should be exhausted as alternatives. You should remember God gave you that specific address and that specific community for that specific time for a specific mission. Okay. Why can't we reach the community? Why is it that we have to give up? Those are rhetorical questions. And you may be looking at relocation, seeing it as a default alternative rather than reach those people, whoever they may be. We can talk about, and in this particular one was there was a socioeconomic difference. Sometimes it's ethnic, sometimes it's racial, sometimes it's a combination of all three. But we will clearly say to those who have ears, listen, it is not the best first choice, but it may be a choice you have to make.
Yeah. And usually after, if you decide that it may not be the right first choice or maybe the right first choice to relocate, question number two, are there groups in the community that could use the facility more effectively?
All right, let's do a case in point. We've talked about on more than one occasion, Hunter Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, yeah. Alabama. It was located on Hunter Street.
Hence the name.
In downtown. I don't even know
where Hunter Street is in downtown Birmingham.
In the inner parts of Birmingham. And really, this is the reality of it. The church community became African American. The church members were Anglo. Now, that is not always a reason to relocate.
No, not at all.
You can get African American leadership into the church. You know that brings up the issue I wrote in Autopsy yes. of Deceased Church, where I said, give the church away to the community.
The number one
yes.
most received question that we get from that book.
Yeah, I guess that means I did not communicate clearly if we continue to get questions. But
people don't read it clearly.
Well, that's the communicator's fault if they don't read it clearly.
True.
So thank you. So could Hunter Street have, as an example, said, okay, we're going to remain an Anglo church, and the Anglos are going to stay in the church, mm-hmm. but we're going to give the leadership to African-American community. That's really what they did,
mm-hmm.
because the Anglos had already moved away from the community.
Yeah.
They weren't there anymore. And so they didn't have a presence in the community. And since they weren't living in the community, it was best to give the church away to a church or to an African-American church that was running out of space.
Yeah.
And it became a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had Hunter Street move to more of the white suburbs.
Yeah.
Again, and then you had the African-American church reaching African-Americans in their community. Both of them ended up becoming large churches as a result.
Yeah.
Now, the largest always great, but in this case, a lot of people reach. That's an old example. That was many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of examples like that.
Yes.
I can think of dozens of examples
yes.
of churches doing just that.
The thing that you know, I think kind of hits me right away is this white flight. Well, usually the white flight has already taken place at this point, mm-hmm. and they've already left the community. So it is what it is, and it's not the first choice. But, hey, if you're going to leave, give that facility to the dominant group, the majority group
yeah.
in the community.
All right, number three, know the costs of relocation. It's not cheap usually.
We often defer and refer to our friend Tim Songster at Costco, the design build firm, which we have a partnership with here at Revitalize and Replan and Rainer on Leadership. And Tim will tell you that most churches have no idea what it costs to relocate. But getting the land, site preparation, all the governmental zoning issues, soil testing, everything that goes into that, and then the actual building of it, assuming that you're going to build a new facility. What are those costs? I mean, is it really a viable alternative? And so if you're thinking about relocating, unless you have a place to which you can go right away, which is like a church, another church is just saying, hey, come be a part of us. You've got to know these costs of relocation. I know very few church leaders who have estimated these costs well, and as a result, they have a tough time.
Well, my take is on this, it's not just monetary cost. There are untold costs, you know, relationship equity.
Yeah.
And different other costs that you don't really
Good
see
point.
On the balance sheet.
Yeah.
That whenever you start talking about relocation, those costs sometimes outweigh the actual monetary cost.
Exactly. And here's another cost. You may think that you will get a number of people to move with you, and that is going to be the base financially and otherwise for your new church, and it may not be.
Mm-hmm.
They may not go with the move.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of possibilities there.
And if done poorly, one of the costs of a relocation may be your job.
Yep.
I mean, unfortunately, we've seen that too many times as
yep.
well.
Yep. These days, it doesn't take much for a pastor to lose his job, though.
Unfortunate.
It's a sad reality.
All right, number four, understand where your current members live.
Simple task.
Pin map.
You like Google?
I do.
Yep. Free?
Yeah.
Just
if you're doing what you're doing, yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. There was a previous episode, we were talking about the technologically deprived, and even though I want to be a technology learner, I'm not a technology native, and so I have to learn these things, but do a Google pin map, and that can be eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. we're going to move here, and 2/3 of our members are there. In case you just saw my two fingers, the one
I saw,
the here was to the right,
there.
And the and
there.
There was to the left. And so east was over here, and west was over there. One of the, I'm not doing it geographically. Okay. Where
I'm
where
looking out the windows now.
Where that's north.
Yeah, that was that's north and south. We're pointing at here.
That's south. That's west. That's east. We're not talking about just the relocation cost of money, but we're talking about where are the people? Where do your current members live? You know, one thing that we did when we were thinking about relocation at Lifeway. Oh, you're going to bring that up?
It's going right there, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you went there too.
We were thinking about where. Downtown Nashville is an expensive place to build. So,
and it's congested.
And it is.
And growing more so every day.
Wow. Thank you, Amazon, for adding 5,000 more in the near future, right there in the heart of Nashville, where the Lifeway building used to be. The
state legislatures are going to start rethinking this no sales or no state income tax thing. I guess, as popular as the state has become.
No, I bet they are.
I'm shocked it hasn't happened.
Oh, no.
Already.
No, you... We are very no tax. If you're following the legislative trail, and I could go down that rabbit trail, no, we move in the opposite direction, Jonathan. We used to have estate taxes just 2 or 3 years ago, and now they've been phased out. Mm. We're becoming a taxless state.
Excellent.
Except for
why everybody's moving here.
Sales tax.
Yeah,
I mean, we got a nice
pretty high.
And a little bit of property tax.
Anyway, Amazon.
Get back to the. Know where your members live. We did a pin map of our employees who drove to downtown Nashville. And guess what? It was a perfect circle around our headquarters.
Wasn't like everybody lived in Franklin or lived out north in Hendersonville or out east in Mount Juliet or Lebanon or out west in Fairview or Bellevue.
Yep.
Or even up, I mean, I know a lot of people that live up like Jolton, Clarksville.
Goodlettsville in that area.
Way out there. White House, Springville.
Yep. Oof. Our far south, Spring Hill and Columbia.
Oh, my word.
So we did this map and we said any direction we go other than where we are, which was downtown Nashville, is going to affect 3/4 of our employment base. So that was a decision we made based upon a pin map, based upon a pin. Those are the type of decisions you should make when you're looking at a relocation. You may assume that you know where everyone is, but you may not be correct until you do this. And even if you do active members, define active as... those who show up maybe once every 2 months. I mean, that's a loose definition of active.
That's a big pool.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that are coming.
And you can do layered maps. You can do our most active and then the next layer and the next layer like that. So do that pin map to find out where your current members live.
All right. Number 5, the DNA transplant problem.
The DNA transplant problem means that we often assume that the church we had in location A is going to be the church we have in location B.
Never the case.
Now,
rarely the case, I guess.
Once you move, things change.
Lifeway, again, example.
Yes.
It's like working for a new company.
It is. It is. And some of it has to do with physical facilities, the fact that we have light coming in all directions. We recently did. I know that this is actually February for the release, but about a couple of months ago, we had the Lifeway Christmas musical. Did you? Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there. We had the IT band. That did two songs.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the band?
I remember that.
The Information Technology Band. And Shelly was the lead female singer. Mm-hmm. And Shelly says, boy, it's really good to be in a place where we can see daylight. Because the IT area was in the basement, in the dungeon, in the old location. And it's a whole new world for them.
Yeah.
They actually get to come out and see light now. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just one of many, many examples of what happens when you go to another location. Don't assume. In fact, it would be a rash step to take to assume that the church that you had in location B is going to have the church that you're going to have in location A to B. Here are some things that will happen. First of all, you'll have a new building. That changes the culture. Secondly, you will not have the same people.
No, you will have new people.
You will have new and you will lose some of the existing membership. Thirdly, you'll be in a new community.
Mm-hmm.
That changes the culture. Fourth, you will probably have some new leadership, lay leadership for sure, maybe even in staff leadership.
Because those big transitions give people a kind of an easy out to step down or whatever.
It's absolutely time
also
to
also gives you a new chance to recruit new people.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of upsides there. But we talk about the DNA transplant. Most churches assume that it's going to be the same. And the common comment that we hear is, it's just in the same.
This isn't the same place.
It's just not.
Well, it's not. It's a different place.
Yep. Yep. And so it's not like going from A to B. It's like going from A to B to C to D. So that's the DNA problem.
All right. Number six, know the details of the new location's demographics.
Okay. Look at the link down here, churchanswers.com/percep. Churchanswers.com/percep. You can get a demographic study of the community, of your church, real easily. Real easily. This is one place you can get it. You can get other places, but we make it available as well. You can do that whether you're moving or not. But if you are relocating, find out, first of all, where you're going to be relocating to. That's always important to know the address where you, and then what will be the defined community? Are you going into a neighborhood where the neighborhood will be the defined community? Are you going off of a major thoroughfare like an interstate or a major north, south, east, west artery of a community? What will become your community? And then do the demographics. And when I say do the demographics, all you do is say, I want this zip code or I want this radius, and watch the data come in. It will inform you so much. Again, you can do this for existing churches, not just churches that are moving from one location to another, but get the details and not only get the demographics, I strongly encourage you to get the psychographics as well. Mm-hmm. Psychographics are what the community thinks, what their hopes, dreams, needs, aspirations are. And when you get the Percep study, of course, you get both of them. Make certain that you get these demographics so you can know exactly and when I say exactly, these are very detailed studies that come forth. So you know exactly the people and the community that you will be trying to reach. If you're going to relocate, know a lot about it.
All right. And finally, you got to get help.
Yep. It seems like, Jonathan, that we are having a lot, not seems, we are having a lot of requests for consultations right now.
Yes, we are every week, which is not a bad thing, by the way.
Oh, I'm absolutely loving it. Sam Rainer's been handling a lot of it. I'm working on three that have come to me, and just independent of that they've come to me is the best way to say it. And some of these are location issues. Do we need to relocate? What can you tell us about our current location? We've stalled out. Why have we stalled out? Is it location related? I spoke with someone yesterday, and I'm not going to give the church name just yet because I don't have permission, but a church in the Las Vegas area that is wanting a consultation. And hey, let's look at our area. Let's look at some factors that are going on. And so I'm looking at all these requests, and I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot of people looking at their community and looking for consultations. And wow, I'm glad that they have the humility to ask for help. Mm-hmm. It could be consultation help. It could be coaching help. It could be going to your denomination. It could be coming to Church Answers. It could be going to a number of places. But there are a lot of people out there that can help you. We've already talked about Costco in terms of the physical facility. Tim Songster and his company would love to come say, okay, if you move here, here are the implications. We would love to come and say, here's some consultation issues that we can provide, and advice and strategic advice and guidance. And by the way, then go to churchanswers.com and hit the consultation tab.
Churchanswers.com/consulting, I think, is the
Or just go to the tab address, on churchanswers.com. Mm-hmm. Get help. I'm absolutely loving the fact that so many people have the humility to say, outside expertise helps. It's a very, it's a complex bear, Jonathan. There are many, that's an inside phrase for those of you. we're looking at Amy J on the screen in the production studio, and she remembers the complex bear. So we're dealing with all of these issues of relocation. Some of it's physical facility, some of it's community, some of it's DNA, some of it's leadership, some of it's strategy, and I could go on and on. Get help in the process.
You know, one area that it's just really simple to get into to get help.
Yeah.
Church Answers.
Yes.
I mean, just being a part of Church Answers helps you with a lot of this, you know, especially if you're at the coaching level.
Oh, yeah.
That we've got. So, you know,
you have a dedicated personal coach. Yes.
To be able to help with a lot of these kind of things. So,
yep. So we got all kind of resources, and we're not just us. There are a lot of good resource providers who are out there, but don't think that you can do this alone. You should not even try to do this alone. We don't do this podcast alone. We couldn't do this podcast without the sponsorship of the North American Mission Board.
Yeah, and with 4,000 churches a year closing in North America, the need to replant dying churches has never been greater. That's why the North American Mission Board is having a conference in March 5th and 6th in Alpharetta, Georgia, called the Am I a Replanter Conference. At this conference, you'll learn the essential characteristics of a replanter and what it takes to replant in different contexts. Leading this conference will be Mike McKinley, the author of Church Planting is for Wimps, Brian Croft, author of Biblical Church Revitalization, as well as our good friend Mark Clifton, the author of Reclaiming Glory. And the conference is only $15 and includes meals and books.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And you can register at churchreplanters.com. It's the cheapest conference I've ever seen.
Least expensive.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Least
expensive.
It's not a cheap conference.
It's, what, less than a month away?
Yeah, well, about a month. Yeah, right at a month away.
Yeah.
Register now.
That's good. That is good. Wow. Love what the North American Mission Board is doing. Love the fact that we have this partnership with them. Love the fact that they're making a big difference in churches around North America.
I bet you'd get one of those cool hats, too.
Ooh, International Harvester hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet if you go to
Do you have one?
I don't.
Of all the memorabilia and collectibles, Mark has not given either one of us a hat.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Mark. You're supposed to be back at episode number 8.
We may have one by now. The time it releases, we may get one by then. You never know.
All right.
We'll have to edit that, I guess.
No.
Still, Mark.
Just keep it there. Well, thank you once again for being a part of Revitalize and Replant. We love the fact that you, the listeners, are making this the most listened to church revitalization and replanting podcast in the world today. Thank you. Thank you for your receptivity. Thank you for being a part of this. Always thank you, North American Mission Board, for what you are doing to sponsor this. And we're going to continue revitalizing and replanting churches for greater health together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.